All right, good morning. Good to be together with you today. We celebrated with the Gallinet family and their precious little life. We also want to celebrate today. Perfect timing. Ethan Burke is our drummer, and Caitlin is one of our AV people up there, and they're here today as the newly married Mr. and Mrs. Ethan Burke. So we celebrate them and what God has in store now that their lives are indeed together. And Raj, Jerusha, where are you? I saw you coming. There they are over here. Raj and Jerusha, good to see you. They may be they've been living in Florida, training, working there. Whether we'll get to see them again permanently, but for now you're visiting today, right? So just wave to the group. We love you. We missed you. And man, great to see you. Great to see you. One other thing is children's choir. We will be meeting today for about 10 minutes. So after the morning service down in the saplings room, parents, if you could bring your children down to children's choir just for about 10 minutes. Teresa's not back yet from Teresa the Suplees. They have another grandchild out in Ohio. They're celebrating. I'll let you tell them tell you. But anyhow, I'll let them tell you, but I already told you. But she'll be back next week to kind of lead the choir. But we're going to practice, just go over the chorus and a few motions today, all right? Well, a couple months ago, I received a letter from an office that I had never received a letter before. At first, it looked very strange to me. And it's DOAS. Some of you may know what that is. But to look at it and realize I was getting mail from the division of aging services. And I thought, what? The division of aging, right? And what followed over the last few months has been a bombardment, not from them, but from United Healthcare and Cigna and Jefferson Health and USAA and Aetna and Mutual of Omaha, all telling me, Vincent, the time is quickly approaching. You have to pick a Medicare supplement plan. The clock is ticking. On February 4th, 2026, you will be 65. What plan will I choose? As we study the letter of James today, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to all of us. I hope he has to me. And he has reminded me, don't panic. Relax. Don't get upset. Don't get overwhelmed. Because the reality is, Vincent, the clock may not be ticking for you anymore on Earth, February 4th, 2026. I may never enroll in a Medicare supplement plan, right? Because I don't know if I'm going to be here. I'm here now. I'm here today. And the clock is still ticking for me today. So I have to choose a plan. But I'm not talking about a Medicare supplement plan. I'm talking about a life plan. And the good news is there's only two to choose from. Will I choose my master plan for my life today, or will I choose my master's plan for my life today? Because one of those choices will come with a lot of stress and anxiety, and the other choice will come and lead me to what? Thanksgiving. And that's what we want to see today. I want us all to see today. We have sung, we have prayed, we have asked the Lord to open our hearts, and so I want to read James chapter 4 and verse 13 and following. James writes, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, we'll spend a year there, engage in business, make a profit, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil." There's three areas this leads me to Thanksgiving. And the first is this: Be thankful for today. Be thankful for this day, this moment. Psalms tells us what? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This day. Paul says to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And by the way, I want to tell you something else. He says, rejoice, right? I want to make sure you don't miss it. Rejoice, be joyful, be thankful for today. Now you might say, hey, wait a minute, Pastor Vince, I can see where you'd get that from the psalmist or from Paul, but I don't know how you're getting that for James, because earlier in the chapter in verse 9, James says, be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Sounds like, James's motto for Christians is to be ho-hum. Well, there are some Christians who choose to live that way. They won't allow themselves to celebrate because, yeah, but what if this happens or that happens? And yeah, but there's so much evil and there's so much. And instead of letting themselves realize that's not the motto James was. James isn't saying, here's my motto for Christian living. Be gloomy. No, James already gave us his motto in the very beginning of the letter. In verse 2 of chapter 1, James said, consider it all joy, right? When you encounter various trials. So James does fit with the psalmist and with Paul in saying, be thankful for today. Rejoice. Yes, verse 9 is talking about if you have chosen selfish living and you're battling and you're fighting and you're warring with one another, then you need to mourn and you need to grieve over your sin. But verse 10 says, when you do, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He will exalt you. When you humble yourself and you repent and God, forgive me, I want to be a different person, he'll lift you up to joy. The psalmist says in Psalm 30, you have turned my grieving into dancing. Thank you, God, for another day to surrender my master plan to my master's plan. Thank you for this day. And James calls a timeout to make sure, you know, they get it, that they don't miss it, right? With verse 13 there, he says, come now. It's kind of like saying, time out, huddle up, gather around. Come here, get in here. I want to make sure you don't miss this. Many of you who know me know that, you know, I squint and do this and that, and sometimes I make noises with my throat that you're wondering, where is that him? Is it come? But, it's a reality of who I am. My doctor says it keeps me alive, all right? So you just enjoy it with me. You know, my stress leaves me. But it's funny for me. It's part of who I am. I try it, but it's funny in how it sometimes comes out in life. And a few years ago, I was coaching a junior high girls basketball game, and we were losing by 1 point, and we had got the ball. There was like 12 seconds left. I only had a 30-second timeout left. Timeout, ref, 30 seconds. Refs looks at the clock, 30 seconds. You know what I mean? That's what you get. Come on, gather around, girls, listen. So look, here's what we gotta do. We're gonna be, now look, you're gonna be taking the ball out of bounds, and this one girl goes, did you guys hear that clicking sound? Did you guys hear that little? I said, listen, would you listen to what I'm trying to tell you? Here, you're gonna be setting the pick right here, and we're gonna be sending this person around you, and she goes, that right there, did you guys hear that? And I said, that's just me, would you listen to the play? I got 10 seconds left, I don't want you to miss it, right? You know, and I don't mean James is saying, you come on, but James is saying, come on, time out. I don't want you to miss one day. I don't want you to blow past one day and miss being thankful for today, being grateful for this day, because you don't know if you're going to get tomorrow. Verse 14, you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while. He's not saying there is no eternal life and you're not going to heaven. He's talking about your journey on earth. Later this afternoon, I'm going to be officiating another funeral of someone in town who passed away younger than I am now, right? It's a constant reminder to me that this may be your last, right? Timothy Keller says, if you're a Christian, you should have a spirit of wonder that permeates your life. And I agree with that 100%. Doesn't mean I live it out that way all the time. But we need to have a wow for today. I understand there are days where you may be, like you get up in the morning and you're thinking, what I'm looking forward to most is the day being over and going to bed. I understand some of you aren't, you know, some people are morning people, other people, you're not a Christian until your second cup of coffee, right? Then you follow Christ or whatever. But my point is to get up each day and say, wow, everything I'm looking at never existed before. God created it out of nothing. And the God who created it all out of nothing loves me. Wow, what a wonder. What a wonder that he sent his son. Jesus died in my place. 2,000 years ago when he was on the cross, he knew he was dying for me. Wow. Jesus promises me that his peace is available for me today and for you if you'll receive it and walk in it. Wow, what a wonder. What a wonder. The God of all creation wants to live in me today and wants to, whew, wow. You see, I'm thankful for today. James says, come on now, gather around, huddle up. I don't want you to miss today. Be thankful for today. There's a second thing. Be thankful that you don't know tomorrow. Some people say, well, wouldn't it be great to know tomorrow? It's tempting. It's very tempting, right? When he says, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. Boy, sometimes we think, boy, wouldn't it be great if I remember watching the movie Back to the Future Part 2. And let's see, you know, it's old Biff, and the old Biff was in 2015, 10 years ago. That was their future back when the movie. But old Biff in 2015 steals the sports almanac from Doc, right, or whatever, and he steals the time machine, and he goes back to 1955, right? And he gives the sports almanac to young Biff, and he says, here's all the scores. Vote, you know, bet on them, and you're and I'm going to be a rich man, you know, in the future. We know how the games are going to turn out, and back in the future now, old Biff is a multimillionaire because he gave the scores to young Biff, who was able to act on them. Right? Wow! Oh man, wouldn't that be just amazing? I think about the year 2001. I remember it because it was when I first thought, you know what, I'm going to buy some stock, $200 worth of stock. The first thing I bought was Qualcomm, because your dad was, right? And of course, the curve had just gone down. And so I think that $200 worth of stock, I sold it for like $195, and I bought something else. And that went up to 230. And then I sold that and bought something else, and maybe split the 100 of this and 100 of that. And throughout the year, I wasn't day trading. Trust me, I was doing my job as a pastor, but I don't watch it. By the end of the year, the IRS told me that I had sold several thousand dollars worth of stock, but really it was only with the $200. And the profit I made after buying, selling, was $71. And it was not worth my time, right? You know. But imagine if somebody told me back then, put your $200 in NVIDIA at 19 cents a share. If I had, that $200 today would be $190,000. Oh, if only, right? What's that? What stocks today? If I know. The point being, in our minds, if only I knew the future, oh, I could guarantee. And that's exactly what they're saying here. They're saying what they could guarantee. You say, today or tomorrow, we will go, verse 13 of James 4, to such and such a city, spend a year there, engage in business, make a profit. The Greek word there is kurdos, for make a profit. In other words, it's absolute, without a doubt. One writer says, they have already decided where they're going, how long they'll stay, what they will do there, and even the outcome. God just needs to stamp their master plan. Except Jesus says, you think knowing the future guarantees you, you know, you think if only we had that money. But remember when Jesus was talking to two brothers and the one brother said, Jesus, we've made a lot, we got a big inheritance, right? We got to tell my brother he has to, and they start battling over the money. All it's led to is strife. And Jesus says, let me tell you a story about a guy who thinks he knows the future. And Jesus says, this man says, my barns are full. I'm going to build bigger barns because I'm going to get more and more and I'm going to fill those barns. And Jesus says, you fool, tonight your life is going to be over. You think if only I could know the future and guarantee, you don't know if you'll be there to enjoy any of it. How about when he talks to Peter, the end of John's gospel, and he says to Peter, do you love me? Peter says, I do. And he says, all right, serve me. Do you love me? You know I do, Lord, serve me, right? Three times. And he says, all right, Peter, I'm going to tell you what the future holds. At the end of your life, they're going to bind your hands behind you and they're going to carry you off, in essence, take you off as a captive. Oh, it's good to know my future. Except Peter says what? Wait, what about John? Are they going to do that to him? See, Jesus says, you think that knowing the future, but be thankful. Be thankful you don't know the future. Thank God for today, but be thankful you don't know tomorrow. Why? Because God is working in it in a particular way. He knows what's best for us. We think we know. In Matthew chapter 6, what does Jesus say? Many of you know the verse, but it's in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, Jesus says, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In other words, there is tremendous value in not knowing tomorrow. What is that value? Well, James spoke about it in James chapter 1 when he said what? Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result. In other words, what's he saying? There is a value to living one day at a time, living in this moment. Thank you, God, for today. I will face what you have for me today. I will learn to trust you. And each day, I'm going to learn to trust you more. And I'm going to learn to trust you more. And there's a reality in the master's plan that each day can make us stronger. Right? Each day leads to deeper trust, which leads to deeper surrender, which leads to deeper contentment. I'm not only saying that factually, I want you to know, and I'm not bragging, I've lived it. As you journey through life and you trust God more, you then do what? You find it more, Lord, I surrender to you more. And when you surrender to his plan, there's this remarkable peace and contentment that comes through it. And to just give you an example, I'm not going to turn there. How about Daniel chapter 3? In Daniel chapter 3, The king says, I'm going to build this statue. Well, they build this statue, and they say to the king, make everybody bow down when the band starts playing. And the band plays, everybody bows down to the statue except Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they know they only bow down to Almighty God. They're not going to worship the king. And so the other people, oh, good, we got them. And they say to the king, look, these guys aren't bowing down. The king says, oh, they probably didn't understand. He brings them in. All right, I'm going to get the band going in a minute. And when the band plays, you need to bow down before me, or else I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. And what does Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say? They say, we don't know the future. We know that God's able to protect us. We don't know whether he will. But the fact is, because we don't know the future, it has caused us to have to surrender that future to the Lord and trust him. And as a result, we've got perfect peace. You do whatever you want to do. We're okay. You see what I'm saying? The reality is, often we think not knowing the future causes anxiety. No, not in the master's plan. Not knowing the future causes peace and contentment. Because you have to surrender it to him, trust him with it. You are not ready to handle what you're going to face in 10 years. You're not. But if you follow the master's plan, in 10 years, he'll have you ready to handle what's going to come your way, right? In other words, Peter wasn't ready. Peter wasn't ready to handle what Jesus said to him. Peter was, you know, what do you mean? What do you mean? I'm gonna have. Is John? But when you don't know the future, it causes you to surrender to the master's plan, which leads to him bringing you to a point where you can handle the future that you couldn't handle if you knew it. That makes sense? Some of you may know who this little boy is. When he was 9 years old on his 9th birthday, he was shy. He had no idea that that year his mother was going to die. At age 9, he had no idea that at age 22, he would lose his job as a store clerk. At age 23, he would go into debt to become a partner in a small store. 3 years later, his partner would die, leaving him a huge debt that took him years to repay. At age 28, after being in a romantic relationship for 4 years, he asked her to marry him. She said no and broke it off. At age 37, on his third try, he finally was elected to Congress. 2 years later, he ran again and failed to be reelected. At age 41, his 4-year-old son died. The next year, he was rejected for the office of land officer. At age 45, he ran for the Senate, and he lost. 2 years later, he was defeated for vice president. At age 49, he ran for the Senate again, and he lost. At age 51, he became the president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. Now, if you told 9-year-old Abraham Lincoln all that was ahead, I think he'd say, yeah, I'm not. Forget it. Politics is not for me. Thank God you don't know the future. When he gets you there, you'll be ready. But you're not ready for it now, and neither am I. Thank God for today. Thank God you don't know the future. And in closing, thank God he knows what he's doing. For James says, what you need to say is, if the Lord wills. And that's an exciting phrase, because James isn't saying don't plan. Hey, you got your 401ks and your IRAs, get rid of them. He's not saying that. He's saying surrender them all to your master's plan. Remember, they're all safe and secure as long as the United States government doesn't crumble. If it does, they're all safe and secure. I'm not trying to cause you anxiety. As long as, you know, some foreign country doesn't find a way to get in and destroy all of our financial records. And you know, what I mean is the, when you surrender them to the master's plan, Lord, I've done what I can, but it's in your will. I'm trusting your plan for me. Yes, God has a plan for you. And Job says, you don't have to know what that plan is to be able to rejoice in the fact that God does know, right? Job chapter 23, if you remember Job, he's lost all of his flocks and all of his beasts and all of his barn animals, and he's lost his houses, he's lost his children, he's lost his own health. And in Job chapter 23, verse 8, he says, behold, I go forward, but God is not there. I go backward, I can't perceive him. When he acts on the left, I cannot behold him. He turns to the right, I can't see him. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know what's ahead. I don't know what's coming my way. Verse 10, but he knows the way I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. See, thank God. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. If the Lord wills, Lord, I surrender my master plan to you, my master. And here's the thing. He's already told us what his master plan is for us. In Romans chapter 8, right? What does he say in verse 29? For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. These whom he justified, he also glorified. God's saying, Vince, trust me, I know what I'm doing. You are going to be glorified in heaven. I mean, he gets all the glory, but he's going to bring us into that beautiful place as human beings without sin and stain. When Greta and I were in Niagara Falls, they were telling us stories about, it was a museum actually, there for the people who have tried to go over the falls intentionally. Some of them made it, some of them didn't. They show you, you know, these are the tires. He made it. He got inside a whole bunch of tires and he survived, you know, this here and this that. One of the guys was Charles Stevens. They don't encourage it. Matter of fact, it's against the law. You know, if you make it, you're going to jail. But I mean, Charles Stevens in 1920, he decided, I'm going to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel, but I know what the mistake was that some of the other people made that didn't make it. The barrel was out of control. And so he tied himself and the bottom of the barrel to an anvil, a huge iron anvil, so that the barrel would go straight down and he would be able to stay up, you know, and not fly in all different directions. And when the rescuers found a piece of the barrel, they found that it was tied still to the anvil and to his arm, but only his arm. In other words, it didn't work, right? His arm made it. I don't mean, my point I'm trying to make, I said it better at the 9 o'clock service. This is the one that goes out. Anyhow, the point I'm trying to make is, I'm not sadistic, is that when God's done, trust me, you're going to be there in one piece, all right? We're not going to be in heaven saying, oh, Andy's missing a leg, the poor guy, you know. Oh, what are you, you're missing an ear. Yeah. He's going to get us there all in one piece. He knows what he's doing. He says there at the end of Romans, right, that I know what I'm doing. I am convinced, Paul says, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We're going to be okay. And so Paul, when he says in Acts, hey, I'm going to come see you, but he says, if the Lord wills, because it's his plan. To the Corinthians, he says, I want to come see you. If the Lord wills, because I've surrendered to God's plan. Some of you are already 65. You're past it. you already got your Medicare, or you don't need it because you're on some other plan. I don't know. Some of you are thinking, I don't have to worry about that for another 50 years, right? If you're 15 or whatever. Doesn't matter how old you are, you wake up every day and you have to choose a plan. Whether you're a teenager, whether you're in college, whether you're a young adult, whether you're married, a parent, a grandparent, will you choose your master plan, or will you choose your master's plan? Only one of those choices will lead you to Thanksgiving. Let's bow before the Lord. Almighty God, we thank you for this portion of scripture that is a challenge to us to stop, huddle up. Don't miss this day and the next day and the next day, all looking for some secret moment in the future. Be thankful for today. Thank God you don't know what's coming tomorrow. But thank God he does. And he knows what he's doing. And let it lead you to surrender and receive the contentment of trusting the master's plan. In the name of Jesus, amen.